Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network. Everybody, it's The Voice, and I am back at home. I know, it's been a while. I've been driving my ass all over the state, doing all these road shows, but finally, I'm just going to hang out in my basement with some friends, we're going to drink some beers, and have a good time. And I don't have to do nearly as much research or driving, which I think is very important for this one. I just get to chill. So, welcome, all you Drunkomaniacs out there. Thank you for listening each and every week on the FCF Network. It's a new Sunday, so that means new Drunken Lullabies. We are closing, we're winding the summer down. It's the end of July. We got 1 month left. The kids are going to be going back to school. All the concerts and festivals are going to be done for the most part, and we just have to continue on our trip to Christmas time and cold Illinois winters. So soak up that sunshine while you got it, drink some beers, get outside. But for now, we're inside, and I've got two guys joining me here for the first time. Both have had chances to be on. It just didn't work out, but now we're here. Let's drink some beer.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So joining me to my right, on again, off again, coworker of mine. I've known him for a fair amount. We bonded over our talk of punk rock and all Riot Fest style bands. The first time I drank at the Fox with my old friend Sam McIntyre. Name that we haven't said in a while. I don't know what happened to him. He just dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Chris, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Glad it worked out this time, man. Excited.
And to my left, he was the loudest one at the VIP tent at the Central Illinois Peoria JCE's Craft Beer Fest, International Beer Fest. He was trying to hang out with our friend and former guest, Kevin from, the Harvest Cafe, yeah. But they separated you guys.
Yeah, they didn't want us together this year.
So you
I don't understand why. We had such a blast the year before.
So you just threw shit at each other the whole time.
We pissed some people off.
Yeah. So he's sat in now on a full episode. Now it's time for you to sit down. Gene, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, you guys both, you know, for frequent beer drinkers in the Peoria area, you guys are familiar faces. Chris, you were behind the bar at the Fox for quite a while. Did you bartend anywhere else prior to?
No, actually that was just something that started as part-time work in the kitchen, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Excuse me, when I moved home, and then it just kind of spun out of control from there. Just
gotcha. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
And then Gene, I believe the first time I met you was the Kelleher's days.
Yeah.
You definitely spent some time there, and now you're at the Fieldhouse?
No. Sort of.
Yeah.
I help out at the Fieldhouse.
Okay.
Off
the books.
My full time job now is I'm the assistant director at Johnny's Italian Steakhouse.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, they're still around. You'll still see them when you're out and about. And what we're going to do now, we're going to play... Oh, no, we're not, because I forgot to tell everybody else what their drinking game is. I almost forgot. You guys need to get drunk, too. So the drinking game is in effect. So anytime somebody swears, take a drink. Anytime there's an audible expulsion of gas, take a drink. Anytime there's a pop culture reference or somebody does an impression, that is a drink as well. And anytime the word of the day is said, take a drink. And we're going to make the word of the day class. might not make sense now, but it might later. So, all right. Well, that's your guys' drinking game. Now it's time for us to play our drinking game, brought to you by Iron Spike Brewing Company in Galesburg, Illinois. It is time for Spin the Bottle.
Beer makes us fired up, so come on, drink it all night long. Slam it, girl. 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 Where's the marching band at? Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Don't drunk dial, no. Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Pound that beer.
Okay, the bottle has been spun. No, it wasn't. I'm just volunteering to chug because I am on vacation now. I am off work for 10 straight days from the bank. I'm off from the Fox for like 12, so it's good half time. The month.
Yeah. Nice little break.
It's a good thing that I don't rely on that paycheck to pay my bills. All right, well, I am going to be consuming the Light Rail Cream Ale from Iron Spike. This one comes in at a nice, even 5%. It's a very light, refreshing one, and I figured it's a good way to start the episode. So, bottoms up! Okay, there we go. Well, that's one beer down. How about you guys? You guys want to actually drink something now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, you brought this one, which I was pretty stoked about. You can go ahead and take the first pour since you purchased said beverage, and take the lion's share if you would like. This is the Galaxy Ghost from Pipeworks out of Chicago. It's an Imperial Double IPA. Which apparently some people call a DIPA. You know, whatever. But it's 8.5%, and it's brewed with Galaxy and Grungist hops. Now, that is a hop I have never fucking heard of.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
And I like to think I'm kind of somewhat educated on the different hop varietals that are out there, but there's so many new ones being developed.
Yeah.
All these experimental hops that don't even have names yet.
Exactly, numbers, letters.
And, so this one, the flavor profile is listed as being hoppy, clean, tropical, dank, and floral. That's a lot of different adjectives. Some of my friends have drank this beer. Heather from up in Chicago, she described it as crisp and hoppy and wondered if this is the start of a Galaxy series. I know Revolution's done their Hero line, so yep. Who knows, maybe Pipeworks could start a Galaxy series, but there's a little bit here on the bottle. It says, a shockingly delicious discovery has been made by astrophysicists. No, not new life forms, but afterlife forms. Space is populated with ghosts, Galaxy ghosts. They theorize that these ghosts were brewed when Grungist hops collided with Galaxy hops in a bright, crisp double IPA.
Sounds like a Mastodon song.
I mean, if you look at the bottle art, it's an astronaut with a skull. Like,
yeah.
It looks like a Doctor Who episode, like, or maybe a Mastodon music video.
Well, yeah.
They had the one in space, didn't they?
It's Oblivion.
Yeah, great song.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that.
Did you see them when they were in Peoria, opening for Priest
a couple years ago? Third row, buddy.
Yeah, up, and you know what? I bought...
I got so mad because...
They let everybody sit in the lower bowl. I could have bought cheap seats and sat in the same spot instead of spending extra money for the lower bowl, which I did. I was kind of bummed, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I got third row for that concert, and I got the pre-sale code from the...
Yeah, I did
from
too.
The fan site. So I got... They didn't go on sale till like Thursday. I got mine Monday because I cheated and got the fan code. And then, so I paid, I think, like $100 per ticket for the third row, and then I get there and I don't see anybody in the lower bowl. And then one of the radio stations had them for like $10. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh,
this is bullshit.
That's what we get for buying our tickets the day they go on sale.
Yeah. Suckers.
Yeah, right. I've done it the other way around and it's worked out to my advantage. I saw Ray LaMontagne in the theater.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wanted to see him. And I was kind of... on the fence.
Especially
on
the new album coming out.
On the ticket price. Well, this was a few years ago. This is when Supernova came out, which was kind of a...
more critically acclaimed.
Yeah, it was... He was changing his style a bit. But I just didn't know if I wanted to drop like $60-$70 on a ticket. And I just go on StubHub about a few weeks before the event.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 8th row, $35 each... I'm like, yes, wow. I will.
Wow.
And I bought a pair. And my buddy and his wife were wanting to go, and I quick texted him. I'm like, dude, there's some really cheap tickets. You may want to get on that. It ended up, they said comp on the ticket. So I don't know if they were like artist tickets, and they're like,
right.
Nobody's going to be coming to Peoria. We'll just sell them. But we had good seats front and center, like, 7th row, and we got 2 tickets for the price of 1.
It could have been.
That's a deal.
Could have been radio station.
That's true.
I got, last year I went to 3 different concerts for free because of radio station tickets.
Yep.
I saw James Taylor.
Sweet Baby James?
Yeah. I took my mom to that for Mother's Day.
My dad had some of his records.
I was the youngest person in our...
Did she go to the Jimmy Eat World show?
My mom,
the acoustic. Oh, yeah, awesome. I remember seeing that on Facebook.
That's awesome.
I had to miss
at the 501.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I had to listen to it in the kitchen while I was making fries because I was unable to attend.
Yeah,
but they only did what, 3 or 4 songs?
They did 4 songs. They played Lucky.
They played
Denver
good Man. Ones. Yeah, they did Lucky Denver Men acoustic, which was awesome.
Wow.
They also played The Middle. I can't fucking stand that song.
it's a bit overplayed. There's so many other songs I'd rather hear.
Like Jimmy Eat World's in my top 5 favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
But every time I hear that song, I just want to fucking shove somebody's face through a wall.
It just takes some time. maybe you'll like it in a little while.
Sorry, I listened to a lot of Bill Burr on the way over here.
Oh, geez, you're going to start yelling? You're going to start yelling like we were in the beer tent? Every other poor...
Scratch!
Non-stop.
I couldn't talk the next day.
No, I believe it. I believe it.
I just wanted to be louder than Muskowski. That was really...
Well, and was this when Muskowski was still working for the distributor, or was he back at the Harvest?
This was,
a few
April.
Months ago, yeah.
Oh, at the recent...
Yeah. The year before, they paired us up, and then they learned their lesson. That's why I wasn't with them this year.
It happened.
I think we made somebody's... He made somebody's wife cry or something because
that's
new
fun.
Claris.
That's no.
You'll have to ask him about that story.
Yeah, we just did a show at the Harvest.
It won't be his fault.
That did not come up. So
no, that was totally his fault.
All right. Well, while we finish up this Galaxy Ghost, I'm going to introduce our band of the week because we always have a Drunken Lullabies band of the week. And as of this day of recording, this was a killer day. If you're a fan of the music I play on Drunken Lullabies, because 4.5 bands that have been featured on the show put out new records today. Teenage Bottle Rocket had a brand new covers album come out. The Kickback, who actually was one of the first bands to sit down and actually drink on the show, their new album came out. Fantastic. Make sure you check that one out. Also... Battle Tapes came out with a new EP, and Oliver the Kid put out a B-sides and demos collection. And then as the 0.5, Jason from Starflyer 59 has a new side project with the guys from Pedro the Lion, and it's called Low Tom, and their debut album just came out today. So I count that because he's involved. So 4.5 new albums for you guys to check out. But we'll get into that later. Right now, I have to introduce our band of the week, hailing from Germany. For the first time, we have a German band. We've had Australian, we've had Canadian, I believe something from Scandinavia, but never Germany. Idol Class. And we are going to play a few songs from them. And luckily, I was able to get a hold of the band. They were very cooperative and very... excited to be featured on the show, and I asked them if they could talk a little bit about the songs that we're going to feature. And the first one we're going to play is off the album Of Glass and Paper. And the song's called The Drama Continues. It was the first song I ever heard from them. And they said, The Drama Continues is kind of a prologue to our album, as it opens with some lyrics about everything that combines and can be found in most of our songs regarding life situations. Maybe one line of the song puts it all together, trying to find profound metaphors to cover up damage and loss. The second half of the song consists of quotes of my favorite movies and lines that you will find in the other 10 songs of the album. It's like a directory, if you will. And I encourage you guys to try to figure out what those references are. And again, they're going to be pop culture references, so I expect you to drink every time you hear one. So you have a nice buzz by the end of the song. So we're going to let Out of Class take it away. And here is The Drama Continues here on Drunken Lullabies. Class, The Drama Continues. That's a good description of this episode, you know, maybe by the end of it. The Drama Continues. All right, well, while we're finishing up our Galaxy Ghost, because that's a bomber, you know, we usually double fist here on the DL. That's Drunken Lullabies, not down low. We're going to drink, and we're going to drink another beer. This one was sent in by a listener, loyal Drunkomaniac, Mr. Tyler Abercrombie of, I don't know if he's of the Abercrombie and Finch Abercrombies.
But you never know.
He's got enough money to send me 2 boxes of beer free of charge, so oh, yeah. He could be. He's a good old boy from Mississippi. Love the guy. He's been one of our biggest supporters, and I can't tell him thank you enough for sending some stuff.
That's awesome.
And that's he nice just he sent me a bunch of Mississippi beer. We drank some of it on Drunk at the Movies. I will continue to drink some of it on Drunk at the Movies because he sent me 2 boxes of it. Definitely. So this one is the Lazy Magnolia Timber Beast Imperial IPA Rye Double IPA. And apparently, Lazy Magnolia is Mississippi's oldest brewery, which is fun.
It is, and it started, I think, in like 2003.
Yeah.
I mean, 2003?
Which is
crazy.
Insane.
Are they still available around here?
I haven't seen them for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were a couple years back.
It was in Kiln, Mississippi is where it's from. Flavor profile is hoppy, smooth, strong, spicy, and sweet. And not a whole lot of my friends have drank it. A fair amount, including the fella who sent it to us,
which makes sense. That's just awesome, man.
So, yeah, it's a new one for me. It's 9%. So, I mean, it'll get the job done.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe he said this wasn't as fresh as he would like it to be. But, again, I think with a double IPA, those can hang a little bit longer than a standard one. And apparently the pairings for this, fried foods, spicy food, grilled meats.
Yes, check.
Yeah. And cake.
What?
So, basically, you could get go to the fair and get a funnel cake.
Right.
Just beer with it.
Yeah.
Or an elephant ear.
We're supposed to be drinking it out of a tulip glass, which we clearly are not, because that's not most of the drinkware at Drunken Lullaby Studios. I'm drinking it out of a water rush. The Road Warriors from the WWF. Hawk and Animal from the streets of Chicago. Their spiked shoulder pads. That's what I'm drinking out of. And then my other glass is Old School Joker from Batman, of course. Gene, what do you got?
I've got Randy Orton.
Oh, are you going to RKO me out of nowhere?
I don't know.
Do you get that reference?
No, I don't.
Do you even know what that means?
I have no idea.
You know the meme.
But what I was really thinking about by looking at this glass is how much I would like to see a Randy Orton tulip glass now.
Yeah.
They should really step up their game.
Come on. Get it together, WWE shop. You know I'll buy them.
Yeah.
I've already got all the pint glasses. Why not get, we'll get snifters.
Yeah,
and
there
you go. Yeah, they probably have shooters.
They probably have shot glasses.
I guarantee they probably do. They just made fidget spinners. Are you kidding me? I'm sure they have shot glasses.
Yeah, and then there's...
They made Randy Orton fidget spinners?
Really?
Yeah, they just came out with WWE
spinners. That is amazing.
Oh, you got 2 wrestling glasses.
Yeah, I got Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, the last kicker.
She looks like some sort of steampunk...
She is. That's
pilot.
Yeah, she's kind of steampunkish. She's Irish.
Oh, okay.
And that's who my girlfriend is going to be for Halloween.
Nice.
Awesome.
She just got her orange wig in the mail this week. We had it sitting on our fan in the bedroom, and it was creeping me out last night. She had it out, getting straightened or whatever, because it had been packaged up or whatever. And it was just on our rotating fan, which is about waist high. And I was like, can we take the wig off of the fan? She's like, why? I'm like, it's kind of weirding me out. I don't know why. It looks like a weird robot
like
person.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's sound. Like, okay, we'll
you should put a hat on. Is it like from Locks of Love? Or, you know, is it like a real no joke?
I don't think so.
Wig?
I don't think so.
And that's,
she's
I was
wanting
that
to curl it because obviously her hair's a little wavy and curly.
Gene, you do hair, don't you? You can help her out.
It's one of my other 3 side
things. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we'll get your hair did.
I'm also a haberdasher.
No, I'm just gonna say, I don't know if are you incorporating your last name into your hairstyling services? Because that could be good for.
I learned my lesson on that one.
Beaver's hair trimming.
When I worked at the fish market, I'm like.
You all right, Chris?
Back in the day,
man. I'm just
long ago.
this Lazy Magnolia, man.
Selling tuna. I went there.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Timber Beast. I like it. And you said this used to be, some of their stuff was available here at one time?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
I believe.
I thought RJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, well.
They didn't have too much out, but.
No, I think there's three or four.
Yeah,
I know. I'm stoked that I have one spot in Mississippi on my beer cap map over there that is empty that will now be filled.
Nice. Yes.
So thanks, Tyler. I know you said Jason, the bottle cap kid, might want that, but fuck him. I need that cap first, and this is my goddamn show. He gets my rejects. So that just means you have to send more beer, I guess is what I'm saying. But anyway, thank you again, Tyler, for sending this up. I appreciate it. And we may have some fan feedback from him a little bit later.
Awesome.
But I digress. We're talking beer here.
Yes.
And Chris, you're not at the Fox full time like you used to be.
No.
What you doing now?
Now I have been for right about a year working for a distributor based out of Chicago. So just to actually
what distributor is that?
It used to be called Wurtz. Distributing. Okay. Like Rocky Wurtz, it owns the Blackhawks.
Oh, gotcha.
So then they joined a company out east, and about a year ago, joined. The new name was Breakthrough.
Okay.
They chose for the company. So the company was in 16 states, Canada. So outside of Southern Wine Spirits, it's the biggest in the country. So
nice.
They've been really pumping some newer locations, newer product. We've just gotten a couple of wine. Portfolios from the West Coast. Actually, Odell that came to the market recently.
Yes, they did.
That was acquired through one of the West Coast Breakthrough connections. So,
you have an in. Tell them to bring back the Lou Jean.
There's so many.
That's really good.
Yeah. So I am no longer working there.
Oh, okay. No, well, never mind then.
Yeah. But so I just took a position with Marketplace, which is a distributor.
Oh, in the area, we got several friends that.
Yeah.
With Marketplace.
Yep. So start selling their portfolio, which is very large.
Let the listeners know what brands are you going to be representing here. I'm guessing the one that just had a tap takeover last night.
Yes. So
Bear Republic, back in the area.
About 5 years ago, due to the water issues out in California, they had to stop production, but recently started back up.
They didn't have water in California?
It was limited.
Water in California.
It was limited. Very limited.
Just means you have to drink beer.
When it first started. Well, yeah, that's true. Well, from other states.
Exactly.
But, but my aunt and uncle live in San Diego, so they were on water rations for brushing teeth and everything
Spanish
like that. So
whale's vagina.
Yeah. Have not seen it, but heard it.
The whale's vagina?
There's
a bunch of them.
It's got to be pretty big.
So that was the issue with Bear Republic.
Back to my last
other than that, a lot of your well-known brands, their portfolios, large founders, Dark Horse, there's just a lot of them. So
yeah.
So
excellent.
Are you going to be my new rep?
I am.
Awesome.
I believe so.
I don't know. I start Monday.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see.
Very, very cool.
Yep.
Well, bring me samples.
Well, that would be breaking
if
news.
If you are my rep.
But this is coming out after he's already started work, so I guess it's not
there we go. That's it.
Yeah.
But you're announcing it before you've started.
Correct.
So I can pretend.
We can
pretend.
Damn right.
All right. Well, I'm going to pretend that both of my glasses are empty. They're not. One of them is, at least. But we're going to let you guys listen to another song from our band of the week while I finish my other glass. Again, thanks to Benny, who is the lead vocalist and bass player for Idle Class. We're going to listen now to one of the newer songs. This isn't even on an album yet. This is just strictly a single. They put it out on its own. You can find all these songs on Spotify. I know it's going to be hard to track down a CD or vinyl from a German punk rock band here in the States, but you can find them digitally at their Bandcamp and all their websites. So make sure you do that if you enjoy what you're hearing. But if you want to check out the full album, it's on Spotify. That's how I found them, actually. And so the new song is called Foundations. And we were asked to cover a song for a 5-band split. That's a lot of bands on a split.
Yeah.
That our label, Uncle M,
two sides on a record.
wanted to release as a benefit record for the Sea Shepherd organization. There's really not much to say about it, apart from we all wanted to cover a song that no one would really think of, but that we all really liked. And we thought it would be more interesting to try a song from a different genre. So we tried it and instantly felt like it never had been a song by another artist. It just really worked out fine, and it's so much fun to play. We definitely should play it live more often. Well, Benny, do it then. I can't make you.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm in Illinois, but, you know, I dig the song, the tune. It's a good one. So, yeah, add it to the set list a little bit more, and you know, maybe if we have some German drunken maniacs, they can find their way to the pit and start a circle one. But it's now time for you guys to listen to this song, and this is Foundations by Idle Class here on Drunken Lullabies.
Yeah.
And we're back with another beer.
Nice.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, this one.
Ooh, all right.
Holy cow.
Yep. It's dark. Darkness is spreading. This is another one that Chris brought, and I was very stoked about because I didn't even know this thing was a thing. That makes sense, I think. Anyways, it's from Pipeworks as well. This is from the Abduction line, which we've featured on the show quite a few times. We've had some of the truffle ones. We've had, oh, geez, I'm trying to think, coffee. I don't know. I would say at least four Abduction series have been featured on this show. This is the Very Berry Abduction, and it's pretty new because it only has 157 check-ins on Untappd at this point, and only one of my friends has tried it.
Okay, so, all right.
That's saying something. It is an imperial stout brewed with strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, vanilla, and cacao nibs. It's 10.5%. And let's see what the little description here is. Mwahaha! Those humans! Can you believe them, fellow alien? I, for one, alien, cannot. They keep making delicious imperial stouts and we keep invading their planet. When will they learn? This particular imperial stout with berries is ripe for the invading. In fact, let's stop talking about invading and just invade already. All right, so that's, they always have weird little...
Yeah, the artwork, yeah. Especially, I think everybody that has seen the can or bottle.
It looks like a horror movie I need to watch. Kind of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, but with berries.
Yeah.
So and maybe I'll take a picture of that and put it up on the DeLuise's Instagram.
Dom DeLuise's nephew.
But no, it caught my eye just due to usually fruit and stout. Is a very fine line with me. Whether I'm like, wow, this is really good, or if I'm like, wow, this is meh.
Yeah.
So you get sometimes those overpowering fake, you know, medicinal tasting fruits, mainly cherry in a lot, but. With strawberry and blueberry and try to see how it balances with the vanilla and cocoa nib, I thought that was going to be really cool.
They need to make one with snozzberries.
Snozzberries?
That it tastes like snozzberries. That's the trick, though.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hoo Lord.
Yeah, it smells hot.
And we're leaving a little in the bottle. I did a smaller pour of this, but I'm going to enjoy more of it a little bit later. But,
how does it pour? What color is it?
It's dark as midnight. It's so dark that I can't read the black font on my pint glass behind it. So yeah, I don't get a whole lot of berry on the nose at all.
Nope. More of the cacao.
It's pretty sweet.
Cacao or cacao?
It is.
It's got
a good sweet finish on it for sure. This is
taste the blueberry more than anything.
I've talked about it many times. I'm not a coffee guy, and a lot of the abductions kind of lean more towards not my style. Because I'm a hophead, so that's one right there that like I'm drinking a stout. But if I'm gonna drink a stout, it's got to be something that I really, really dig.
Right.
And this is one I would definitely buy this again. I don't buy stouts very often, but if I do, it's gonna be a good one. You know, like. Dos Vidania.
Yes.
You know. Oh.
I think this time of year as well, it's always nice because I'm a hophead. Gene leans the same as well. But, you know, especially this time of year, there's been kind of that taboo of stout strictly for winter
or
fall. But, yeah, that's kind
I'm
of
IPA all year round.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I'm going to drink a stout, I am more likely to drink it in the winter.
Yes.
You know, with like a winter warmer or something like that.
Or if I have a good cigar any time of year. I like a good stout.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of sticks to the lip a little bit to help with a cigar, but some of them just coat the palate too much. But
I always like the more peppery stouts. Like, for instance, like the Chocovesa from Stone. Or Braxis. I mean...
That's where I lean
towards when I'm going with my stuff. It's a Big Rick from Tallgrass.
That's a great beer for me, too. I really enjoy that one.
Yeah.
I remember going in your old establishment when there was a Braxis on. And I think it was... You guys were open Mondays, but not Sundays, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So we went down after kind of like a meeting, and it was me, my boss, and another coworker. And we talked to Billy before we left, and I asked Billy if the breakfast was still on. He said, "Oh yeah, there's only like one pour left." So we run down there, rush down there, we drive down there, and I think we ended up having, I think I had four by myself. My other buddy had four, and then I think my boss had maybe two, or he had three, I think. Yeah. But, you know, he didn't know how much he had left in the keg, but it was great for us that there was not just one, because that beer is absolutely delicious.
We would go through, we'd tap it, and it'd be gone in an hour.
Yep.
Anytime we had those big tap takeovers.
But the same with, stuff like that. You know, once Pipeworks, I think, continues as they are to this market, I mean, you're just...
I'm just glad,
especially the Abduction series. They tend not to do.
Did you get these ones in Peoria?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's good because you know I was always having to go to Bloomington, and before that go to Chicago. Yeah. You know, so Pipeworks. I actually mail ordered Pipeworks beer to my house once through.
Was another Chicago kind
beer
of
beer temple or whatever it is up in Chicago. They do mail order. And I paid a little bit more, but it's like, you know what? I'm not going to spend $30 driving up to Chicago anytime soon. So I just really want some like Ninja Chicago versus anyway, Unicorn, though. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Speaking of Chicago.
I don't like Chicago. I like Chicago beer. I don't like the Chicago baseball team. That's about it. Or hockey team. Yeah. That's where Chris and I disagree. I'm wearing my baby blue Cardinals hat that I got for my anniversary.
I had my my Cardinals 8-bit shirt on earlier today, but I kind of slept in it, so I probably shouldn't wear it over here.
Well, you know.
Well,
class. That's class.
Something you shouldn't sleep on is all the great shows on the FCF Network, and if we're talking Chicago, we're talking about my friends at the Low Blow Podcast. I'm talking about Adam Z and Dave, and then they got... they got a new co-host, but she's from California, so she's kind of not helping my story here because I'm trying to tie it to Chicago. But this is going to be an ad for our friends. I was just up in Chicago and was hoping to get together with him for a drink. It didn't work out, but he's already trying to put me in touch with a brewery right around the corner from him for a future episode. So I'm sure Adam Z will be back on the DL at some point. But until then, you can hear them almost every week on the FCF Network. So here's an ad for the Low Blow Podcast.
In a world where we hate everything except for the things we love, there's the Low Blow Podcast. So join us every week as me, Adam Z.
Me, Dave Rowan.
And Chris and Naomi.
She might be naked.
I'm naked.
Fill your ear holes with unbiased reviews of movies, TV shows, comic books, anything Florida does, and basically the rest of the internet, right here in the FCF Network. So please, check out all your favorite downloading podcasting apps for us, the Low Blow Podcast, appropriately inappropriate.
Ow!
Do you love it loud? Then plan to attend the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. One-day event celebrating all things rock and roll. Over 20 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on site. Panel discussions with producers that have worked with Ozzy, Slayer, Kiss, Y&T, Seven Dust, Dokken, and more. Celebrity signings and meet and greets with current and former members of Cinderella, Winger, Tora Tora, Collected Soul, Ty Kettle, The Monkees, with more to be announced. All that and record dealers slinging some sweet vinyl. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo takes place Saturday, August 26th at the Music Valley Event Center. More information available at NashvilleRockinPodExpo.com as well as on Facebook. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Feast your ears!
All right, and that was the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. I know you had to listen to two ads, but it's for a good reason. It's because August 26th, your boy The Voice is going to be in Nash, Vegas for a full weekend. I'm going to be doing some shows with some breweries down there. I'm very excited. Going to be sitting down with some people at Jackalope, talking to one of the co-founders and brewers, finding out how she went from being a Harvard student and going to law school to starting her own brewery in Nashville, Tennessee, and becoming a brewer. How's that happen? We're going to find out when I do an episode with them. And we're going to have some Nashville music featured on those episodes. It's going to be a good time. But at the actual expo, August 26th, it's me representing Drunken Lullabies and 24 other music podcasts from across the country. We're all going to be congregating in one location. We're going to be doing shows. Some of us are going to be doing live shows. I am one of them. I'm going to have three guys from other podcasts sitting on stage with me and getting drunk in front of a live studio audience. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be a fun time. You can find a bunch more of your new favorite podcasts to listen to. They don't all drink beer, but they all talk music. So check out the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Find the information online. Hopefully, we'll see any of you Midwest Drunken Maniacs there in Nashville. I would love to have a drink with you afterwards. There's going to be some pre-parties with some bands. There's going to be after-parties with some bands. And then I'm going to be there all weekend. So it's just going to be nonstop partying. All right. Well, it's time for us to do what I like to call the Sponsor Spotlight.
Hip hop, hip hop. My voice is like a monster. And now a word from my sponsor.
All right, and it's time for the Sponsor Spotlight because this episode is brought to you by Distill Brewery. And Distill Brewery was founded in Bloomington, Illinois, and has been boycotting Bland since 2013. Their hard work and craftsmanship has led to a wide array of beers that are anything but bland. Bless you. From the Wild Sour line to the Barrel Aged St. Dakara series, Distill's award-winning beers include something for everyone. Even Chris. With options like Weisenheimer, Vertex IPA, Syncopathic, and Dos Badania, Distill doesn't disappoint. So we here at Drunken Lullabies encourage you to boycott Bland alongside us. Support flavor, drink Distill. And since the last time we did a show, they have just announced a new beer to the can line. Joining the Wild Sour series, we already know I love the Syncopathic, but soon Syncopathic Apricot is going to be getting canned and available on store shelves and hopefully available on Sponsor Spotlight in future episodes because I need to drink me some of that shit. So Distill, do it to it. Get your boy some of that Syncopathic Apricot. I'm looking forward to it, but today we don't have that because it's not available yet. What we have is the Blueberry Goza, which is from the Wild Sour line. It's a 5.2%, and it is the Leipzig-style Goza, and blueberries are a combination destined to be together. So we've done that for you with this edition of our Goza. The blueberries add another layer of fruity complexity to this sour ale, already known for its tart, citrusy qualities, while still balanced by the spicy character, which I think you said you kind of like spicy stuff, of coriander, and a mineral mouthfeel from French sea salt. Cheers. Now, have you guys had this one yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I have.
Get yourself some.
But it's interesting that, I guess, description-wise, that they more of a mineral. Excuse me, because that, you know, usually you find that
very good wine. Emo band, one of the forefathers of emo.
Saw them at
Riot Fest.
But yeah, it, usually you get more of the description of that with wines, so it's nice that for wine people that, you know, are more comfortable in that realm, you know, they hear things that kind of or trigger things. Well, it's nice that we kind of see a little crossover with beer and wine as far as description goes, because I feel that rather than saying, you know, tastes like sea salt, you know, well, there's different levels of that. So it's nice when you actually have a mineral backing to it that it just makes a little bit more sense, I think, to the mind and then hence on the palate. So kudos to Distill for doing that.
Definitely, definitely. So we were kind of talking off air a little bit, but we can bring it back here. Gene, you and I were talking about 350 Fest, which is happening the week before the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo, and I'm going to be at 350 Fest 3 back in training. You heard it on a previous episode that I recorded at 350 with Todd and Johnny, and we had a good time, and I'm super stoked. Tons of great bands. We're talking Real Big Fish.
Real Big Fish.
Face to Face.
Stereo.
The Stereo reuniting. They're going to be on the show.
Oh, yeah?
At least Jamie is.
That's cool.
Yeah, Jamie's supposed to be doing an episode with me that day. Big Wig. Yeah, it's Lights Over Bridgeport. It's going to be a fantastic time. Punk rock, craft beer, wrestling. You don't want to miss out. Tickets are still available. It's going to be a blast in Tinley Park. But have you been to any of the other 350 Fests?
No, I have not.
Is it going to be your first one?
Yeah, I'm going with a buddy of mine from Valparaiso that hangs out with all the Three Floyds guys. So it's pretty fun.
Excellent.
And get to see the Stereo again. The last time I saw him was at that, whatever that church is across from Jeffrey Allen on Sheridan.
They played in Peoria?
They played in their basement there.
What the fuck? How did I miss that?
I was like 21 at the time.
I thought that was a bank.
There's a church there too. Or something. Because I saw the
album. What album would this
be? This was
for?
Like, was it Rewind Repeat? Is that one of them?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Right around that time.
Whoa.
Because, yeah, I've been a fan of Jamie's music for a long time. I mean, he was in Animal Chin, yeah, and then The Stereo, and then Let Go.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fantastic one-and-done record. And then he came out with a solo album a few years ago. It made my top 10 albums of the year. I know he's not going to play any of that, but if things go as according to plan and we've got Jamie on the show, I'm hoping to do a little bit of, not a band of the week, but like a career retrospective. Nice. Where we'll play a Stereo song, we'll play a Let Go song, we'll mm-hmm. play a solo mm-hmm. song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he seemed into the idea of sitting in on the show. When I approached him, he's like, oh yeah, sit around, drink beer, and talk about myself for an hour? I can do that. So yeah, hopefully nice. We'll be bringing that to you guys in about a month.
Nice.
And you'll get to hear that. So Real Big Fish, huge craft beer fans.
Nice.
They built a whole tour where they went from town to town and incorporated a local brewery into the show and like had a special beer every city.
Yeah.
Except for the singer, Aaron, not a beer nerd, but everybody else in the band is, I guess.
Is he, who's all in the band that was in it
originally?
Yeah. I think Aaron's the only one. Yeah.
I don't know if Matt Wong, the original bass player, is back in the band or not.
Oh.
I'm Facebook friends with one of the guys from the horn section.
Okay.
And I was trying to get a hold of him, and I was talking to their publicist because I would love to do an episode with them as well.
Of course, I remember seeing them at the Madison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw it. It was Why Do They Rock So Hard, that tour.
Yeah. They played the Madison there a couple times.
They played with Goldfinger and I missed it.
Yep.
Yep, and I was I at that
him,
one.
I saw that's him another time where I took my little brother because he was a big fan of him.
Yeah.
It was right when Cheer Up came out.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the last shows before the Madison closed. Became a decrepit shithole.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably always a decrepit shithole, but mm-hmm. it was just like unsafe decrepit.
Yeah, let's be honest. But it was the best venue to go to in Peoria.
It's our time. Oh yeah.
What's the best show you ever saw there?
At the Madison?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Most memorable. You will never ever see that caliber
Violent Femmes,
show.
Probably.
I've got a few, but one of them will be the most insane pit that I was ever a part of, and it was a Cold Chamber concert, but it wasn't Cold Chamber. It was a new band that had just released their debut album on Roadrunner Records. They were a bunch of farm kids from Iowa that dressed up in masks and jumpsuits by the name of Slipknot. Yeah. And I owned the album, but a lot of Peoria was not privy to these gentlemen yet. And they came on stage and just almost destroyed the building. Yeah. And that pit was insane.
I saw them at, that was like in October, right?
I know it was like my freshman year at ICC. So it would have been late 99, early 2000.
Yeah, because I saw them at Ozfest the
following year
no,
or
it was
summer
before that yeah
oh,
it was
really?
The summer before okay. that because they were like the very first band the very first on the main stage and if I remember right and I remember I saw them there and I was like I don't know who the fuck these guys are but I gotta check them out and
right.
I heard they were at the Madison and I couldn't get off work or something stupid like no you have to sell these CDs that was when I worked at Sam
okay I'm looking it looks like it was August 26th, 1999. It was Cold Chamber, Machine Head, Slipknot, and Amen opened the show.
Who for probably $8.
And Slipknot only played 6 songs because they were like second. They played Sick, Eyeless, Wait and Bleed, Surfacing, Purity, and closed with Spit It Out. And it was nuts. Wow. They were banging on their beer kegs on, you know, the side of the stage. People didn't know what to make of it. And I was just like, this is awesome. And you know, fast forward a few months later, and we're selling the Slipknot jumpsuits at Co-op for $100. I mean, they blew up. And it was a really cool show. I got on stage with Goldfinger another time and got to sing background for Here in Your Bedroom. That was pretty memorable. You know, you mentioned them a little bit ago. Yeah. But, you know, also a memorable show. I saw Insane Clown Posse there twice.
Jesus.
That was an entertaining show. But yeah, the Madison was great. The sound wasn't fantastic, but the building had its own charm. It was an old theater, and it brought in... It was a venue that could house a fairly sizable crowd, but not big enough for the Civic Center. So all the indie bands that we were into went there.
I remember probably my most memorable show there is just for the fact of how insane the fucking lineup was Primus was the main band.
Blink-182.
Blink-182 opened for him, and the Aquabats
with Travis Barker on drums at that time. Scott Rainer was still the drummer for Blink-182. That's when they met, was on that tour.
That was
I was gonna go.
Insane lineup. I was like, what the
fuck? I was gonna go to that show, but it was hockey season, and all my friends that I was gonna go to played for the Pekin hockey team, went to state.
Oh, well, yeah.
They couldn't go. So I did not go to that show, and I was kind of bummed about it forever. Yeah. But it is what it is. Yeah.
I think a close second, though, is when I saw System of a Down there when they were opening for Fear Factory.
Mm.
That was crazy.
Is that the obsolete era Fear Factory?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, that's my favorite album of theirs.
I mean, I like Fear Factory, but I wasn't there to see them.
Right.
I was there to see System of a Down.
System of a Down also played in Peoria. They opened for Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, I remember.
And I did not see System of a Down or Method Man Redman because I was at the across the hall at the... Assembly Hall or what, I don't know. No, Assembly Hall is the arena. Whatever.
In Champaign.
That's in Champaign, yeah.
That's
right. It's the State Farm Center now.
Well, yeah.
I saw Green Day there.
That's stupid.
For free.
But the little hall where they have the expos and stuff at the Civic Center, I can't think of what they call it. But ECW Wrestling was there. So I was watching ECW and then I had a friend text me after... Method Man, Red Man were done, so I came over and watched Limp Bizkit.
So you were just in the exhibit hall.
Yeah. Exhibit hall. Yeah, that's it.
Doing that.
I was watching wrestling, and then I walked across, and then I saw Limp Bizkit play. So I had to double dip. All right. So, but yeah, those are some old concert memories.
Yeah.
Well, all this talk of concerts past makes me want to listen to some more music. But guess what? The guys are fans of beer. I mean, they're German, so they kind of have to be, I think. So
I think we should thank them, really.
So I asked them what some of their favorite beers are. And it said, actually, while I'm writing you, the Beer Fest is opening up in our town for what I think is the third or fourth time. Every year, they build up a little fairground with beer companies from all over the world that offer you their beverages for quite some coin. Anyways, we're definitely going to attend this happening tomorrow and check out what will make us check out. But apart from what they got good English for Germans. But apart from what I've recently been to Scotland and the Isle of Skye with two friends of mine, where we were lucky enough to discover the Skye Ale, which comes in 4 different styles. All of them taste really good. And we had quite some time to enjoy a couple of bottles. Unfortunately, we couldn't yet find a store that offers them in Germany, or at least not in our area. So, if anyone in charge reads or hears this, I'd be happy to receive a package so we can spread the word. Well played. Well played indeed, Benny. That sounds like my kind of pitch there. So, we're going to listen to one more song from Idol Class, and this is called Worn Out Shoes. They have a video. I will share this on our Facebook page, so make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever, to facebook.com/drunkenlullabiespodcast. Also, hit us up on Instagram, same location. But Worn Out Shoes, this song basically is about missed opportunities with dear people that might have let you down and how you deal with it and things that remind you of them. I wrote the main part of it about an old friend of mine that I've somehow lost contact with. It still flashes in my mind from time to time, but I guess I just moved on or some other elevated stuff that I could write about. You know how it is. We do know how it is. People grow older, you grow apart, but you know what? If it turns into a good song, maybe it's worth it. I don't know. But anyways, here's Idle Class. That's a drink. And here is Worn Out Shoes, and this is also on the same album the first song was on, of Glass and Paper, here on Drunken Lullabies.
Yeah, just another song about some broken bones, but not admitting that I might be too slow to catch up with what I always want to do. I keep these worn out shoes as a reminder for the lies that I once told, the rumors that became true, the pain that won't go away, it just will be replaced with hope for something new. Or a collection of lies and day of fortune and fate, the reminiscence,
the things that I miss that I won't catch up with.
And we're back, and Yeah, so I would like to thank our Band of the Week Idol class for letting us feature their music and also for sending me those descriptions. It's fantastic when I can get the bands involved. I enjoy that a lot, and I'd like to think that our listeners enjoy that as well. Something else I enjoy getting a little Drunkomaniac mail. All right, and it's time for Drunkomaniac mail. I mentioned earlier, I mean, I literally got some Drunkomaniac mail from our friend Tyler when he sent me two boxes of beer, which was fantastic. I mean, that's literal mail. I'm usually just talking about feedback, emails, that sure. kind of thing. But if you're actually going to send something to the P.O. box, by all means.
Yeah, he sent it to the location. You didn't even have to move.
No.
Yeah. Your body or car.
I had to wait for the post office to open because it's a small town. They've got weird hours, and their hours are during my working hours.
Sure.
So it takes a little maneuvering, but I've sent my dad in to pick up. It's a small town. Be like, hey, you know me. Like, yeah. I know I got a package. Yeah, can my dad just get it? And she's like, yeah, that's fine. So...
no fertilizer.
Yeah, I've had him do that. But Tyler was actually sending some feedback about our brand new spinoff, Drunk at the Movies, which I'm sure if you guys are subscribing to Drunken Lullabies, you're finding it pops up in your feed every Wednesday. I am now bringing you guys two shows a week for free. All you gotta do, just download them, listen, have fun, and enjoy. Sundays, you get your beer talk like this. We're talking a little bit more about beer. Wednesdays, we're going to get silly and watch a movie. And you know what? We're going to record one of those after this is over. So maybe I'll release those the same week. I don't know. But Tyler said he was going to do what I want people to do on Drunk at the Movies, and it is sit down and watch the movie while listening to our podcast real time. Mm-hmm. And he did that, and I got to give him some major props for doing that. He said he was going to bust out his VHS copy of and watch it along. But he said the Strange Brew episode was great. That was the one he watched. And he said Jason, a.k.a. the Bottle Cap Kid, Jason's bewilderment at the beginning of the movie was hilarious. And I actually was able to watch all the way through Strange Brew. I like, but have never watched it all the way through in one sitting because the repetitiveness of the A drives me crazy. So he enjoyed the episode.
And, be honest about it, though. I dig that. You know?
Yeah. So I'm glad you enjoyed that, Tyler, and hopefully some of you other Drunkomaniacs are checking out the new show, and hopefully some new fans of Drunk at the Movies are maybe checking out Drunken Lullabies. And it's, we can just merge them all together. It's just one big happy family. It's just me getting drunk in front of a microphone twice a week now.
Yay!
All right. Well, it is now time for us to begin our wrapping up of this episode. It is now time for what we like to call Picks of the Week. All right, so we drank Pipeworks, Galaxy Ghost, Lazy Magnolia, the Timber Beast, the Pipeworks. Oh yes, the Ride. the Pipeworks Very Berry Abduction, and then followed by the Wild Sour Blueberry Goza. Chris, what you thinking?
I'm thinking actually the way that your genius mind works is the way that we drink. the order in which we did, it was just really nice to end with a sour.
I'm trying not to fuck with your palate too much.
Exactly.
Doing another show after this.
No, I think with the Galaxy, what really surprised me about it, I think generally the Galaxy, it's high acid. It's pretty... dense is not the right word, but you can use it towards the end of a boil and really add some pop to it. So it's going to be interesting to see the way it played in my mind with being a double of that malt backbone and how that all went. Would it be too sweet? Would you lose it? But I think honestly that was just damn good the way that it, even when it warmed a little bit, you didn't get over, you know, the sugars didn't brighten or anything like
that. If we're talking about the lineup, it's a good album opener. You know, you're front loading. You come out.
Depends on what kind of band you are, though.
That's true.
It's your Aquabats at a Primus concert.
You always have to have the opener to get the crowd pumped.
It was a good opener. It was a good lead off track. Kind of set the tone, and we all just kind of went from there. As much as I like the Very Berry Abduction, I'm almost always going to lean towards an IPA for my pick of the week, just because I always think, what am I more likely to drink again or drink frequently? That Galaxy Ghost, I bet I'd drink that whenever. So that is going to be my pick as well. The Beeve, what are we looking at?
I like the Galaxy too.
Do we have a clean sweep?
I think we got a clean sweep.
Wow! You just won the Showcase Showdown, Galaxy Ghost.
The berry was good. It's just a little too sweet for my taste. Like I said, I kind of like a little...
Well, I'll finish your portion.
Did you find that the sweetness came from the base itself or from the fruit?
I think it's...
Or fruit flavors.
I thought it was a little bit more fruit.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, I've had...
You've had some of the other abductions?
Well, I had like just random 10% stouts where they're going to be sweet, but this one was just like... It was good, but it was just really sweet off of it. And it was a weird kind of sweet. It wasn't what I normally get from...
And that's what I think I'm trying to get at for the listeners that haven't tried it or whatnot, that sweetness that you sometimes scare you off with stouts, was this that kind of sweetness for you, or was it... It was
a different
enough.
Type.
Because typically that's not a berry sweetness.
Right.
It's like a milky, which milk isn't sweet, so that's kind
of... Well, if you leave it out...
Yeah, it's like a creamy,
it's a sugar. it's exactly...
Yeah, it was a different kind of sweetness, but... As opposed to Gene, like, I dug it.
I'm not trashing it by any means.
And that's why it's always fun to do this, because everybody has different palates. We're all hop heads, which is even more interesting to see just how we enjoy other beers. So
it's just super smooth. I mean, it just,
Yeah,
but your point, Jamie, it's not bad. It's unique. I think if you find a bomber for the price of, I think it will probably...
They're usually like between $8.99 to $11.99, typically, for most of their bombers.
If you pick it up and you're not sensitive to blueberry or strawberry, this one's not going to, you know, set you back a week and you're just brushing your tongue. This is just very approachable.
We'll save that for the other show.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got our beer picks of the week done. Now it's time for me to give you some music picks of the week, like I've been doing lately. I've got some recommendations for music that is out now and you need to hear, according to me, the voice. One I mentioned earlier, Teenage Bottle Rocket, Stealing the Covers. Clever name. It's an album full of cover songs by our friends Teenage Bottle Rocket. You need to hear it. It's just pop punk. It's fantastic. Picturesque, newer band, debut album Back to Beautiful is out now. Listen to that one. Low Tom, I mentioned that one earlier. That's the side project. Starflyer 59 meets Pedro the Lion. Good stuff. It's L-O space T-O-M. I think it's like 8 or 9 songs, but that's worth checking out. And a couple more for you. A band we ironically mentioned twice in this episode before we even got to this. Goldfinger has a new album out called The Knife. It's not classic lineup Goldfinger. It's John Feldman, the singer and primary songwriter. And oddly enough, Mike Herrera from MXPX is playing bass for him now.
Wow.
So Goldfinger, brand new album, The Knife. I'm a big fan of that band. And I mean, he's mostly been doing production work lately, co-wrote like the entire last Blink 182 album, which I really loved because it sounded like Goldfinger meets Blink 182 meets Alkaline Trio. So it was just a trinity of bands that I like in just one orgasmic audio eruption for me. I'm just trying to paint a really, really gross picture. And then finally, Manchester Orchestra, a band that I finally got to see at Riot Fest a few years ago. They have a new album out called A Black Mile to the Surface. Check them out. I'm not going to recommend shit music. I would gladly play all of these bands on the show. So they have the Drunken Lullabies stamp of approval. All right. Well, Chris, Gene, thank you for joining me here.
Thanks for having us.
For Drunken Lullabies.
Cheers.
And you guys want to do some more drinking and watch a movie?
Definitely.
All right.
I guess.
Well, guess what, guys? We're going to let you go, but we're just going to keep this train right on and rolling off the rails. So tune in every Sunday for new Drunken Lullabies. Tune in every Wednesday for Drunk at the Movies. We got tons of fantastic movies coming your way. So if you want to hear just a commentary track like you will never hear, that's what I'm giving you. You don't even have to watch the movie to be entertained, but it doesn't hurt. So, all right, this is the voice saying, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.